We're on the Gospel on Campus, message 4, page 55. While you're clicking, I'll tell you a story. This hymn we just sang, have you ever sung it before?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, no. Anyway, this was written by someone named Timothy Dwight. Timothy Dwight was the president of Yale back in the early 1800s. He's the grandson of Jonathan Edwards, if you ever heard of him. Very godly man. He's president of Yale. He was concerned that the atmosphere at that university is becoming too secular. And so he had a great influence on his students. A couple of his students picked up this influence, went west out to California and started a small college, which eventually became UC Berkeley. And there's no more anti-God establishment university than UC Berkeley. So you can see where somehow things start. And this is just the situation we're in today. So this session, Gospel on the Campus, let's read this title together. Notice a couple words here. Leadership. Now this is, we're speaking to you. We're not speaking to us. So when it says picking up the leadership, and we'll get into this, we're talking students. And we're on the campus. Where's Leland? You know what we're going to do next week? We're going fishing.
Amen.
I'm like, real.
No,
we're going to go catch fish. We're fishers of men, too, but sometimes we go fishing. But when you go fishing, you want to catch fish. So you want to go to the best place to catch the fish. And you probably don't realize it. The campuses are the absolute 100% guaranteed best place to catch human beings for the Lord. I mean, it's proven. If you want to argue with me, you can argue with me. You will not win. And the best fishermen to catch these best fish in the campuses are the students. And you may not agree with that, and you can come argue with me, and you will lose. We'll get into that a little bit. Now, we want to gain people for the church. And unfortunately, we do not have time to get into everything. I've just got a lot of feeling to share a lot of things, and I don't have time. So please come to Madison. I'll buy you lunch, and we can have some fellowship. Or check with any of the serving ones here. They can all tell you exactly the same thing. The church, when we talk about the church, there's just so much to say. But one thing I want to say, we don't have our church. And, you know, we might have a club on the campus. We're not here to get people to join our thing, right? The church is the body of Christ. When someone receives the life of Christ, automatically they become a member of the body of Christ. Of course, we know and we see in the Word very clearly that as Christians, there should be no divisions among us. We should all meet in oneness, and this is what we practice. Of course, we meet in our locality on the ground of oneness, in the oneness of the Spirit. And this is what we want to bring people into seeing. Once they see it, they begin to practice it. So we're not out just to say, you know, if you've got your club, what's the club called at OSU? Christians on Campus. The goal is not to make Christians on Campus the number one Christian club, right? The goal on campus is to dispense the triune God into people.
Amen.
So that they enjoy him as their life.
Amen.
Become members, functioning members, seeing members of the body of Christ, which is expressed as the church. Now let's read Roman numerals 1 and 2 together.
The Lord's object economy is to gain young people for his recovery. We must pray to be burdened with this commission. The only way to carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on any college campus form a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on that campus.
Amen. So, also, there's a verse here, Daniel 11:32. Circle that. Actually, the last half of that verse is what we're concerned with. Could anybody recite it? Anybody know it? Someone must. I know it. Dion knows it. Okay, I'll start it. The people that know their God will show strength and take action. You all have T-shirts that say, a man of God. Do you know your God? Then what do you need to do? Show strength. Take action. We're talking about young people. Take action. Be strong. There's a verse. Be a man. Right? Show strength. Take action. Then this next, Roman numeral 2. There's a word here when I read this. This just stood out to me because I don't think I'd ever seen this before. You know what word it is? Someone said nucleus. That's not it. It's not the word that you might think. Only. When you see the word only, or when you hear the word only, then you know I don't need to pay attention to anything else. If you're in your class and the professor says the test will only be on chapter 4, will you study chapter 5?
No.
Well, you should, but you know, if I told you there will be a test this afternoon and we're only going to test you on the 1 Timothy verses,
amen,
would you study anything else?
Yes.
Okay, you would. You're good. But actually, you wouldn't, right? Okay. This says only way, right, to carry out, and of course it's qualified. You could say, I could change this. The only way to carry out a gospel work. But this says dynamic, powerful, and prevailing. So do you want your gospel work to be dynamic, powerful, and prevailing? Or do you want to just go fishing for the fun of it? Go out in the sun or the cold and not catch any fish. Fishing is not much fun if you don't catch any fish. And you'll be on a campus that's teeming with fish. How are you going to catch them? You form a nucleus of students. Now, I want to, I don't think you need convincing. If anybody was wondering, or is wondering, can I do this? Let me assure you, you can do it. Now, you in and of yourself, right now it's easy. We're in this room, we're all stirred up, and, you know, yeah, let's do it. But then you're going to go back to your campus, and there'll be one or two of you, and you'll be surrounded by ferocious freshmen, you know. And, oh, do I dare talk to him? You know, can I approach her? You know, all these kind of things. Anyway, or we don't have any full-timers. We can't do anything, right? This is really, really backwards. But this is what we've fallen into. Actually, this is part of the degradation, right? From the time when the Lord was on the earth after his ascension, you know, he was with young men, right? His followers were young men. They received the Spirit, and the day of Pentecost was poured out. They spoke with boldness. The church grew. The word was mighty, prevailing, in spite of opposition, death. Anyway, the church grew and spread for a short period of time. But by the end of the first century, a lot of degradation had already set in. Eventually, what happens is the body of Christ, which is us as members, becomes weak. We stop functioning. And we then depend on a few people to do it for us, which generally through the ages has been the clergy. Now, we don't have clergy, but I think, you know, we do not have clergy. But I think in some of us, in our practice, it's like, well, we need a full-timer. We need, you know, yeah, I mean, we've got, if you're serving full-time, you've got to function. But we aren't any different than you. I might be older. Andrew's older. Yeah. Right? And it's wonderful. I mean, you have Brother Dwayne. He's got a real portion. You know, he's got maturity. But, in fact, he has the same divine life you do.
Amen.
And you are well able to do it.
Amen.
When the spies went into the land, right? They saw, I got to watch my time. They saw the land, and everyone agreed, this is a great land. Right, you know, Old Testament story? If you don't know it, go read about it. And they came back, they all gave a good report. We can go to the campus, and we'll say, it's full of young vessels who are hungry. And then 10 spies said, yeah, but we can't do it. There's giants there. We'll be crushed. But 2 spies said, God is with us. We can do it.
Amen.
And they just had God with them. We got God in us. So you can do it. I empower you. These days, right, that's one word, right? We're empowering people. I don't empower anyone. The Spirit empowers us. But I want to let you know, you don't need me. Actually, you don't want me. Right? Leland and I should just go fishing for a few weeks. Where's Ian? What do you think? Wouldn't that be great? We're just gone. You guys just take it over? Anyway, we still need to fellowship together. But, you know, you can preach the gospel, right? What is this? You got this? Can you speak the gospel now?
Yes.
You know you can, right? You've got this memorized, right? Someday maybe you get tested on this, right? Someday. Anyway, you can do it. You can do it. But, okay, now why are you the best fisherman? Okay, who's a young student here? Okay, you all can just imagine. You're a freshman on campus. You're standing in line, getting your bus pass or something. And come here, just stand. I needed someone to stand up. Okay, you're standing in line, and I come up and stand next to you. I say, hi, how are you?
I'm good.
You say he's good. Are you a student here?
Yeah.
Are you freshman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Canada, Toronto.
Yeah. Toronto, that's nice. What are you studying?
Computer science.
Yeah. Now, what are you thinking all the time I'm talking to you?
Why are you talking to me?
Why are you talking to me? Okay, thank you. Sit down. You're thinking, what does this guy want? Right? Now, maybe it's not a bad thought. Like maybe it's, I went with my oldest son to, when he was getting oriented, and an older guy came up and started talking to us, and I politely asked, who are you? And he was the dean of admissions, and he just wants to make sure everybody's having a good time, and, you know, so it's very nice, right? But, I mean, you know, Dennis comes up and talks to you, it's like, oh, are you a professor here? I mean, are you recruiting students? Why are you talking to me? And you say, well, it's just hard. I mean, I tell you from experience. I can start a conversation with someone, but they're all looking, where's the hook? What do you want? Now, okay, imagine you're a freshman or a sophomore, and you're standing in line, going to pick up some books, and another student says, what, you're studying French? Because you're buying a French book. And you say, yeah, I'm taking what? And he says, yeah, I took that class last year. Really? Oh, which professor did you take? And the guard is down. You know, when you want to catch fish, you got to use the right bait. You got to be at the right time. Fishing, you all got to learn how to fish. I'm talking about real fishing. Everything applies for gospel. The Lord Jesus, he went and he got fishermen, probably for a reason. Anyway. You know, students, they can appreciate people like us. I mean, like, a little bit older, right? But they appreciate us for what we are. I mean, if they meet Simon, Simon's so sweet, lovable, enjoyable. But they don't say, hey, we're getting a softball team together. Let's get Simon. Right? I mean, have you ever been asked that? Never, yeah. Right? But, you know, if you as a student get to know them, and Deanne will share more about this, then for people like us, there's a function, right? But we have our function in measure in the body. The students come in, they're looking for friends. They may not feel like I need a friend. They want a friend, right? And they meet Amir, and just what a nice guy. I met this guy named Amir, and he's a student, and it's just wonderful. And you go visit him. Let's have lunch together. You don't have to go, like, preach the gospel to them right away and tell them everything about God's economy. Just be their friend. And eventually, after some time, they'll be watching you, and they'll see you holding the Bible, and they say, well, are you a Christian? And, yeah, I'm a Christian. Aren't you? Well, actually, I am. Oh, well, I got this great Bible study. Oh, can I join? Can I? Yeah, I'll pick you up. It's just so easy. When I do it, it's just so hard. So, the body of Christ needs you. Jay, the body of Christ needs you too, but not the same way. Wouldn't you like to have about 50 students there at Winona? Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Anyway, we have what we have. I do want to say one thing, though. Okay, so don't expect to do something quick. Of course, if someone is ready to get saved, jump in the church life, wonderful. You can take your time. If you befriend them, you're their friend. If they're freshmen, you got 4 years with them. It doesn't need to go quickly. But I want to give just a little word of caution. You know, we're in this age, and this is a corrupt, evil, wicked age, and you're in the midst of it. When we come together, we want to gain people for the Lord. We want to gain people for the church. And they may not have that same realization, the ones we're contacting, or they may not have any kind of realization. So what am I saying? Okay, we got brothers and sisters. And the brothers and sisters come together, you pray and you coordinate. Let's go out and contact people. Or I'm living in a dorm, and I got these people. You know, you're a young sister. You're loving the Lord. You're expressing the Lord. Actually, this is very attractive. But it's attractive just like the Lord Jesus was attractive. He didn't have any comeliness. People flocked to him. Okay, I'm a young sister. I go out and contact some young guys. For the sake of the gospel, no evil intent. The people in my dorm, there's a bunch of guys and they're reading the Bible. I'll join their Bible study. You know, we've dealt with this so many times, different things. You know, I'm a young male Christian. Well, I want to have a young female Christian to be my girlfriend. That's just normal. That's the way of the world. That's what everybody does. You get your girlfriends, your boyfriends. So I'm just saying this as a warning. Just really be aware of this. You know, for contacting, for shepherding, the sisters should contact the females. Brothers should contact the males. Amen. You know, sometimes it's unavoidable. You have a table out, and a couple of the brothers are there, and some young women come up, and you have a little fellowship with them. It's, you know, you do it. It's fine. But then, for going on, you don't go visit them in their dorm room. You don't visit them and have coffee, right? You get some sisters to take care of them. This will be a real safeguarding of you to prevent difficult situations. You know, at the full-time training, I think the way they do it is ideal. You've got a team that goes to a campus. It's brothers and sisters together. They come together, they pray, they fellowship. Then they go to the campus, and they're separate. And other times, they're separate. So we shepherd the males. We get the sisters to shepherd the female. What if you got a campus, it's just three sisters, and there's no brothers there? What are we supposed to do? Pray. You know, we operate, we have three tools in our toolbox. Prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. Amen. And you can buy them lunch. That's the additional thing. Right? Prayer, you got to pray. We need the Spirit, and we need the Word. That's all we're selling. We don't have a dating service. We don't have the singles group. We don't have anything like that. If you're, you know, and ones will come, it's like, well, I just am looking for a place. I don't think most have a motive. I'm looking for a girlfriend. But, you know, they want one. You're at campus. Everyone else got a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend, too. Just be on your guard. The enemy is lurking, always. And this age we're in is very, very degraded. So that's just a word of warning. So, to reiterate, Can we do this?
Amen.
Can we do this?
Amen.
Will you do it?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to check with you next year. How did it go? You've got to find a group of students. If there's one or two of you, yeah, fellowship with us. But anyway, most places aren't like that. Pray and take the lead. We need you. The Lord needs you desperately. We can't do it. We're not that good at it. You are the best ones to go catch the fish. Absolutely. You're 10 times better than me. And Randrew says more than 10. Yeah, you're right. I hope I never have to go to the campus to contact students again. I have to. You know what I mean? Understand what I mean. I don't mind going out in the gospel. But that I have to be the one doing it. I just want to sit at my home and have the students bring people to me. Bring their friends, bring their ones. Have a sweet, harmonious coordination with all the students. Okay. I didn't do too bad. Amen. I have more to say, but I don't have any time.
Maybe real quickly, I want to do a quick count of our situation just so we know. Yeah. Maybe, Jefferson, could you stand and you can just count for me these two sections? I'm going to ask a couple questions. Jason, maybe you can count this middle section here. A brother, count the section over here. First, I just want to know, raise your hand if you are you're going to be a student on a campus this next year, either undergrad or grad. You might have to stand up, Jason. Stand up, just count all those hands. I'm just going to write these down. Okay. 22 also. Okay. Good. Okay, another question. How many of you on your campus, there will be some other companions, you know, whether they're here or maybe they're not here, but actually, maybe we do the other way. Oh, sorry, make it a little easier, because hopefully they're in the minority. How many are going back, but actually there's no other brothers or sisters going to be on the campus with you? Okay. That was 11 total. Praise the Lord, only 11.
There's 11 campuses with just one person.
Wow. Well, maybe that's right. Okay. That's right. Yeah, right. And then, okay, so for the first one, it was 18 plus 22 is 40, 62. 62 students here. All right. Amen. 62 men of God.
Amen.
And, okay, another question. How many of you going to your campus there's not any home? There's no saints that have a home in that area. Maybe they're not right next to the campus, but let's say within 10, 15 miles. Two. Okay, six. Okay, and last one. How many of you there's no church meetings within 10, 15 miles of your campus? In other words, there's no, you know, Lord's table, no prophesying meeting. Three, two, and two. Okay, so seven. Okay, good. So out of the 62 total students, unfortunately, 11 do not have companions on their campus. But if you don't have a companion on your campus, make a companion right now. And I mean practically get their phone number and even pray with them before you leave. And set your heart that you will stay in fellowship, right, over the course of this next year. If you don't have a home near your campus, you need to pray. Pray that the Lord would send a home there, send some saints there. Usually, when this I ask students this question, I kind of put a little the burden on the students, why did you go to a campus where there was no homes, right? But this time, I won't put the burden on you. I'll say, brothers, we need to spread.
Amen.
Right? Why don't we have a church where they're going to school?
Amen.
Right? We need that. So that's why we have GTCA, right? I know Ijama, right? She's down in Bloomington. at Illinois State, right? And she was so happy when she found out this last winter that we were at GTCA, they were sending a team to come to her city and to preach the gospel there. She was, I don't know if you heard this, Katie Robert told me, she was getting all these texts from me, John, but did you hear the Saints are coming to Bloomington? Wow, that would be so encouraging, right? So pray for your campus, for the city where your campus is, and also pray that eventually a church would be raised up there if that's your case. So some of the things we're going to share here is a little bit related to if you have a home near your campus and if you have a church that's there. But if you don't, then pray for this, that it could be that way. Let's read Roman numeral 3 all together. Okay, so we have a purpose in our labor. Amen. It's not merely to bring people to the Lord, but to do what? Collect materials. Amen. For what? Amen. Okay, so we didn't really get to spend a lot of time in these messages on the church, but actually if you're listening, there were some times where the brothers did. So Brother Benjamin in the beginning, he had 7 points, right? 7 aspects of the church. And actually, a couple times, Brother Bill and Brother Minora both mentioned that a man of God, of course, we're all becoming and we are men of God, right? But actually, what the Lord is after is a corporate man of God.
Amen.
This is the one new man, right? Amen. It's one corporate man of God. And so that's the goal, even with our gospel work. We're not merely sending you to go be men of God on your campus individually. Of course, you come together as a nucleus, right? And you fellowship. You pray together, you can be a corporate. But actually, he wants the church, right? With all the ages, right? Built up together. So we're going to get into that. Please also read point A together, Strong Spirit.
God's eternal purpose is to have the church. We have to preach and minister Christ to people with the building up of the church in view.
Amen. Good. So we have a view. Right? We have a vision that as we're laboring on our campus and our nucleus, we're not merely, like Brother Dave said, we're not just trying to build up our campus group to be the strongest, most prevailing, biggest campus group there on the campus, right? Actually, that's what a lot of campus groups do, right? And you know, actually, I've met people, they had wonderful experiences in some of these groups, but then they graduated. Where do you go? What do? You know, they were in the meetings with these students. There was even some older ones coming, taking care of them. You know, I talked to this one brother, this one student, and he had some older brother, like Brother Dwayne or something. He would come to the campus, and they had Bible and, I can't remember, Bible and donuts, you know, every Saturday morning, shepherded by these older brothers, right, older sisters. But then they graduated, and they didn't know where to go, right? So same with us, actually. We're not just trying to have a strong student group and, oh, they love our Bible studies. We pray, read together. We enjoy Christ together. But they never got built into the church. And then they graduate. What are they going to do? Right? And they're lost, in a sense, right, for God's purpose, right? So a man of God, I appreciated earlier, like with Moses, he knew God's heart so well, right? And we need to be just like that. We have to know that God's heart is for the building of the church. Okay, so in all of our labor, our heart is just, Lord, this one has to be built into your church. Okay, so I wanted to touch a couple of verses. This one you should be able to recite together. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I delay, I write that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God. The house of God. Good. What is the house of God? Good. The church of the living God. Amen. So, I don't know how many of you got to enjoy the speaking in this semi-annual, the crystallization of the Psalms, number one. It was good, wasn't it? Good. And one of the points there was there, actually, there's a progression in the book of Psalms. It's amazing. It's Christ, the house, city, and the earth, right? Say it together. Christ, house, city, and earth. Good. This is when we bring people into enjoyment of Christ, eventually even that Christ in them will lead them to the house, right? Actually, you could say Christ was that. Christ on earth was the house of God. He was the house of God. If you just look at that phrase, the house of God, what does that mean? The house is the place where you dwell, right? Okay, so if you want to find God, where do you go? Yeah, go to his house, right? Go to his house. On the one hand, oh, he's omnipresent, you know, but actually specifically, he dwells in a specific location, right? Don't you want to be where he is? Wow, that's the best place to be where he is, right? In his house. Well, good. Well, so first, he came as a man. Christ was the house of God. He was the tabernacle of God. And he was the temple of God, walking around on the earth. If you wanted to be with God, you had to go be with Christ, right? That was the individual Christ, right? But eventually, through his death and resurrection, eventually he dispensed himself into all of his believers. So now Christ is in all the believers. And he, in this way, the house of God is now the church. That if you want to find God, you have to go to the church. This is where he's just dwelling. Okay, so and now I want to read a couple of verses with that in mind. Psalm 27:4. You might have sung this one. It's a good song with this. If you have that, maybe someone could read that with a strong spirit. And with your heart too, actually. This is a psalm. You got it, Jason? Go ahead.
One thing I have asked from Jehovah, that do I seek.
Amen.
To dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life.
Amen.
To behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple.
Amen. Good. Okay, so here the psalmist says that he is asking, he's praying, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days. Right. So that doesn't just merely say, you know, till the end, right? Oh, I want to be in the church until the end, right? I want to dwell in the house till the end. What does it say? That means every day, right? That was his prayer. I want to be where in your house every day. Do you want to be in the house? Every day? Amen. Good. Okay. And the second point from that verse, to behold the beauty of Jehovah. Wow. So if you want to behold Jehovah's beauty, you need to be in his house, which is the church. Behold the beauty of Jehovah. Okay, another verse. I have to go quickly. Psalm 36, verses 8 and 9. Does anybody have that one? Psalm 36, 8 and 9. Okay, Jude.
They are saturated with the fatness of your house.
Yes.
And you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasure.
Right.
For with you is the fountain of life.
Amen.
In your light we see light.
Amen. Good. So here it says they are saturated with the fatness of what? Like the fatness of what? Yeah, your house. There is fatness in the house. We need to be saturated with that fatness. anyway, so maybe not time to get into all these points, but the point here is this, that the church is a wonderful place. It's the house of the living God, or the church of the living God, and it's the place where we can behold God's beauty. We can be saturated with the fatness that's Christ. The next verse says he causes us to drink of the river of his pleasures here. Amen. Have you, anyway, okay, we need to move to the next, the more practical point. So what does this mean? Last verse, Acts 2:46. This is a New Testament now, and we can see what does this look like? What does it look like to dwell in the house all the days, to behold the beauty of Jehovah? Maybe all those who have it, let's read it together, Acts 2:46. And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Good. So here's two phrases from that verse. Day by day, house to house. Why were they meeting day by day and house to house? Did someone come and teach them that that's the proper way for the church to meet? I don't think so. They'd found the place where Jehovah's beauty was, right? They've been living on this earth for so long, and then these brothers came and preached the gospel. They got saved. And now they realize, wow, I just love being with these ones, right? And we should have this feeling. I just love to be with the brothers, the sisters, not only on the campus, but in the homes of the saints. Brother Lee eventually, when they were realizing what's the proper way, going back to the scripture, what's a scriptural way for us to meet, realize that even in the church, 80% of our church life should be in the homes. 80% of the church life is in the homes. The homes of the saints. Maybe it's in your home too. Maybe some saints come to your home. That's wonderful. Okay, so, and then 20% is still in the larger meetings, right? Actually, Brother Lee also, so he talked to me about the larger meetings. He called them like an ice skating rink. You know, it's so easy to skate right into the big meeting. You know, so you gain a new student on the campus, and you know, your first thought, oh, okay, they're supposed to be built into the church. I better bring them to the big meeting, right? And you bring them to the big meeting. That's okay. Not if you feel that's what the Lord, you know, that's okay. But it's real easy to skate in, you know, skate in, and skate out, right? That's what Brother Lee said, right? So where is it this one is really going to be built into this? Where is this student you're going to contact? You're contacting? Where are they going to be built into the church? Where? In the homes, yeah, right. Of course, if you're going to build them into the church in the homes, then where should you be? Right, yeah. And you should be not just in the home, you should be built in with the saints there, right? Good, okay. I just wanted to read a little bit. We must be built into the church. What does that mean, though, to be built into the church? What does this building look like practically? That means you're fellowshipping with the saints from your home. You're praying with them. You're contacting them. You're calling them day by day. You know them, and they know you. You love them, right? And they love you. Good. And in this way, eventually, we have what point C talks about in point D. In this way, there's this coordination, right? How are we going to be coordinated with the church? On the one hand, you're doing some labor on the campuses, and so maybe you have some full-timers or some saints that are aware of the labor on the campus, and so you coordinate with them. And it does give some points, you know, it wouldn't be good to schedule your Bible study, you know, right in the middle of the Lord's table meeting, right on, you know, that'd be horrible, right? You know, so there should be some thought of the church meetings, but even more practically, let's read point C actually. We need many homes of the saints for the sake of coordination in the gospel work. Every college student needs a home to which he can bring his friends. Good. Okay. So now. Brother Dave, you know, charge you. You know, you we can do this, right? You can take up the leadership on the campus. Okay, so I'm going to give you one more charge. Find a home. Okay, find a home. And I do mean that. You might have to find the home. Maybe you're already in a home meeting, right? Maybe you're already in a home. Of course, here it doesn't say home meeting. You know, it says homes of the saints. If you're just so related to a couple there, a family there, you and maybe another brother, you go over there every week. There's stories of students. There's a wonderful story in this brother named Matt down in Austin. All the saints had left the church in Austin there. They had a conference. I'm not sure where. So most of the saints had all gone to the conference, but this student, Matt, he didn't go, and he was just there in Austin. But all the saints are gone, but he wanted to... He still wanted fellowship. And so he actually, I don't know why he did this, but he just had some certain older saints, this older, you know, middle-aged couple came into his mind. I want to call them and just see if I can go visit. That's wonderful. And you know what? He didn't know this, but that couple that he thought of, their kids were just graduating high school, college, and, you know, they were going on, and they were kind of ready to slip out the back door a little bit, you know, just kind of sliding to the back row of all the meetings, and not so burning anymore, right? That's their testimony. That's what they said. But then for some reason, the Lord just put it on Matt's heart, call them. So they called him. Matt called up the brother, and he said, I just wanted to know if I could, bring over my guitar, maybe, grab a pizza or something. I could just come over and be with you. Of course, his brother, you know, they're ready to slip out. So they weren't, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. No, he's like, well, hold on a second. But I don't know if he talked to his wife or whatever, but eventually he had to say yes, right? So this is another wonderful thing, you know, if me and Dave, we try to go to some saints and say, saints, you need to open your home and have some college students in right? You know, they might have a certain reaction.
They'll say amen.
They'll say amen. But then they won't do it. Actually, that's true. Yeah. okay. Right. But then if Fanu, right? How do you say? Naifu. Oh, Naifu. Sorry. Naifu. Fanu. Naifu. Naifu.
More
Lord. Naifu. Naifu calls up some couple, right, in Montreal, right? Can I come over to your house sometime next week? Yeah, see? Yeah, that's what'll happen. They can't say no to you. You have it's the same kind of principle on the campus. The students are most open to you. Also, the families in the church are most vulnerable to you, right? They're just feelings in their heart for you. They just can't say no. So I charge you all, okay? Get a home, all right? Anyway, and as you get related in that home to those saints, and you would be praying and actually be so good, then when you're contacting people on the campus, then later that week you're just in the home with that couple, and you say, saints, I met this brother's new contact. He's so hungry. Can we pray for him, right? And you begin to pray with that couple, with that older brother, and oh my goodness, then the saints' prayers will come out, and they will be so effective, right? Those saints have such a storehouse, there's all these wonderful saints that came up. They served dinner to us this week. They all came up here. Oh, that's like, those are pillars, right? Those are men of God who've been pursuing for years. There's a storehouse in them, and it's just waiting to be released.
Amen.
And you know what? You guys are the key to open that door and release it. So anyway, can you do this?
Amen.
Will you do this?
Amen.
Okay, really pray before the Lord, and I hope he would lead you all. Amen.